Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Back to you, folks. Fáilte. Hi, hello and welcome. It is John O'Sullivan from the Irish Pagan School and we are here with our weekly coffee chats and check-in. And my coffee mug today reads, "I just want to sip coffee and read mythology." And if that does not define me on most days, I don't know what does. Which is why we made that mug for the on our Éilean Otter merchandise brand, éileanotter.net. If anyone else wants to pick up any of the mugs they've seen in these videos, because I just really like stuff that tickles my brain whenever I'm sitting down to make my coffee of a day. And to try and make it an active process instead of a passive thing, which means I'm aware of how much coffee I drink, as opposed to just fueling myself in coffee as I have in the past. But yeah, we're not here to talk about John's coffee habits or, you know, healthy coffee practices, which is what I've managed to reframe it as in my recent years. We are here to talk about mythology, and in specific, we're here to talk about Bridget mythology, because we've had a couple of questions and I thought I'd just dive on and answer a couple of those in a short check-in chat. Just before we dive on to that awesome and amazing topic, which is Bridget, we do still have that resource available. It's a free resource. It is about identifying what are good and bad Irish pagan resources. There's a lot of content out there, and unfortunately, a lot of it is misinformed or intentionally dangerous or damaging, because it's not, you know, questioning its own cultural appropriation, or it's not kind of being aware of the indigenous culture and faith beliefs of Irish people. It is just being sold or marketed as, sure, put a potato on it, put a shamrock on it, put a harp on it, and it's Irish. All of which is, well, one of those is actually very tone deaf to Irish culture. I don't know if you can guess which one, but the resource is available there. It gets you onto our mailing list, which gets you access to regular kind of content from us, including these free kind of videos whenever we notice, and also the free sessions that we do where we engage with our community and we hang out and spend time together. So I said I'd chat about Bridget, and there's a couple of questions that have come in. The first one is from someone who reached out to us with a bit of a concern, and they have been going through. Okay, well, hold on. Before we dive on to questions, who is Bridget? Bridget is one of the Tuatha Dé Danann, but what is very interesting about Bridget compared to other Tuatha Dé Danann is that there is a longevity of Bridget that has made it down through the Christian faith into Catholicism, into Saint Bridget. I am not a Bridget expert, but I do know her in the capacity of the mythology, which is where my focus tends to be. And Bridget in the mythology is daughter of the Dagda. If you know anything about me by now, or the t-shirt that I'm wearing in this video as I record this, I work for the Dagda. I work with that guy, talking about his old stories and kind of bringing forward what I believe are the lessons that we can take from those stories into our modern day. But Bridget is his daughter. Now he is All Aher, which is great and ample father, but he also has many children. Like, there are many children which are children of the Dagda, from Eadh to Kermit to Angus to Bridget, of course. Then there is Anya, a very loose mention of Anya. Even though I get questioned about that, there's many people going to reach out to us about Anya, daughter of the Dagda, as different to other Anyas. And the reference that we have for Anya is that she had a basket that was given to her by the Dagda, and that whenever the tide was in, the basket would be full, and whenever the tide was out, the basket would be empty. And this is the only reference I specifically have to that particular Anya, daughter of the Dagda. Now, there is another individual who has a magical item, which is full when the tide is in and empty when the tide is out. And that individual is Manannan. But Manannan is not Mac Dagda. He's not son of the Dagda. He is Manannan Mac Lir, son of the sea. But in some stories where I have kind of dug them around, Manannan was raised in fosterage with the Dagda. So Dagda is his foster dad, which tells us that, again, this ancient culture was that children born into a community or into a collective weren't raised by a nuclear family unit of parent or father, daughter, father, mother, etc. They were children of the Tua. They were children of the tribe, and they were raised by the community collective in that way, which is why we have the thing like fostering being so prevalent in the ancient Irish stories. So it makes sense that the Dagda would be, you know, the big dad, the big, like literally all Ahar, the big daddy of the Tua de Danann, and he would look after a lot of the kids and raise them. But we do have Bridget, and Bridget is specifically said to be his daughter. And Bridget is a goddess of poetry and a goddess of blacksmithing. So it is interesting to see the crossover in her being a goddess of craft. When we look at the three Dini Danann, the three gods of craft from the Tua de Danann, which are Gwyvnu, Creghna, and Luchta, which are the smith, the wright, and the wood, the brazier, which is like the fine metal worker or the jeweler. None of those are the daddy of Bridget. Bridget is the daughter of the Dagda. And we know that the Dagda is a poet in his own ways. And well, the Dagda is pretty much good at everything. That's what he's called, on Dagda, the one, the good hand, who is kind of good at everything. So it's possible, again, all of these skills that she learned from her dad. But this kind of takes us into one of the first questions that we do get asked a heck of a lot, which is, if the Dagda is Bridget's dad, who is Bridget's mam? And the official stance about that, according to everyone I've spoken to, according to all of the people who have studied the lore as much as I have, as much as Laura have, is that there is no record of who Bridget's mam is. It's not mentioned, you know, in the same way that we have no mention of who Aed's mam is. Or we know, for example, that Angus MacOak, the son of the Dagda, is his mother is Boann, because of that particular story where the Dagda stops the sun for 9 days, so that 9 months passes a day, so that Boann can conceive, give birth, and be restored, all before her husband Elkmar comes home. So we know Boann is mother of Angus, and in other stories, we see Boann's influence continuing in Angus's life. But there's no mention of who Kermit's mother is. Kermit, who is slain by Lu, and who the Dagda goes and takes the club to the power over life and death in order to restore Kermit. There's no mention of who his mam is, but we do know that he was born right beside Newgrange, right beside Brú na Bána. He was actually born there. Now, whether that makes him also a child of Boann, or the place where he's actually born is called the Paps of the Morrigan, like, and it's on the landscape. It's in a field right next to Brú na Bána, right next to the Newgrange passage tomb. Now, there is another prehistoric kind of tomb, like, feature in the landscape known as the Paps of the Morrigan. It is on private land. It's not accessible. So, you know, don't, if you are in Ireland going around Brú na Bána, don't go into a field where you don't have permission to go into a field. But if Kermit is born on the Paps of the Morrigan, does that make the Morrigan his mam? We don't know for sure. It doesn't actually say. And the only person in all of the mythology who is specifically listed as being a child of the Morrigan is a guy called Mech. And Mech is born with three serpents in his heart. And if the serpents were to grow up, they would destroy the world. And so Mech is killed, his heart is taken out. But even then, Dean Kecht, the surgeon of the Tua de Danann, performs this. He then has to burn the heart and take the ashes of that burned heart, which are still so toxic, he puts them in a river, and it causes the river to froth and boil. And that river then bears the name of the Barrow, which still in Ireland, there is the River Barrow, and it comes from that particular story. And of course, Barrow is a tomb. Like, a barrow is another word for a passage tomb or a grave. And so the River Barrow is pretty much the Barrow of Mech, which is this son of the Morrigan. And that is the only person in the mythology who is listed as a child of the Morrigan. So we come across a lot of people who claim to be children of the Morrigan these days, or daughters of the Morrigan. And I'm like, okay, how many serpents do you have in your heart? mainly because it tickles me. And it's we have so many people trying to claim the deities in roles of either fatherhood or motherhood. And for some, it might make sense. Like, the Dagda is literally one of his names, Olaher, the great and ample father. He is a big daddy. And so there are many people who look to him for parental guidance or parental roles. But I've never come across a single person who would look to Dean Kecht to be a father figure for them, especially since Dean Kecht is the one who killed his son because his son outstripped him in his abilities of healing and surgery. And also that one of the daughters, the daughter Armage, the daughter of Dean Kecht, who had the knowledge of the healing herbs, which he got from Make's Grave, which is the son of Dean Kecht, who was slain by Dean Kecht. Pretty much a father comes along and tears up all the herbs and throws them all over the place. The mythology tells us that he is not a good father figure. And yet some people still, you know, like try and see these ancient ancestors or gods or guardians in parental roles. So I have been skating around that this particular person did take the question further. They acknowledge the fact that there isn't information in the mythology. But I want to be very clear that the official stance is that we do not know who Bridget's mother is.
Hello, this is Laura Ryan, and I want to make sure that you get access to our free gift for you, which is the Roots and Reverence Ancestral Connection Toolkit. So this is a 5-day guided exploration, which will be delivered to you free over email series, and it's as enlightening as it is grounding. It's designed for anyone who feels a kinship with Irish paganism, whether you carry Ireland in your blood, your heart, or the soul memories of lifetime past. There is no cost, only the promise of authentic connection to Ireland, as ever from us. So go to irishpagan.school/roots, that's R-O-O-T-S, to get your ancestral connection toolkit. And again, it's all free, delivered free over 5 days. There's resources, there's exercises, there's connection, there's all sorts of cool stuff. So I hope you enjoy that. It is our free gift to you for being a valued podcast member. So back to the episode.
The thing is, this person asked for an unofficial comment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a slight step to the side, and I'm not going to be speaking as John O'Sullivan of the Irish Pagan School. I'm not going to be speaking as, you know, the official DAG, an official individual, or I'm not speaking for anyone else other than my personal opinion. And I just want to be clear on that. And this is an unverified personal gnosis, which means that I have nothing to back this up. There is no information to support this. It is my own specific experience in regards to my connection to these gods and goddesses, to the Dagda and the Bridget specifically. In my personal opinion, again, completely unsupported, my hot take, as Blind Boy would put it, is that the Morrigan is Bridget's mother. Now, again, folks, that is not an official thing. And when if anyone does want to say, well, John thinks, it's John as John, not John as Irish Pagan School, if that makes sense. And I want to just be clear about that. So the official stance of the Irish Pagan School and many other people out there is that we don't know who Bridget's mom is, because that's what the information says. I have my own personal take on it, which is I think it's the Morrigan, and it's that goddess of poetry. I think she may have gotten kind of some skills and stuff from her dad, but the ability that we see of Bridget through the stories, it's entirely possible she got them from her mom, and it's entirely possible in my read of things, my personal read of things, that it may be the Morrigan. Now, the reason why I'm couching this very carefully is because so many people try and put the Morrigan in a matronly role or in a mother goddess capacity or mother goddess figure. Then so many people fall into this binary view that, well, if the Dagda is the father figure and the Dagda is married to the Morrigan must be the mother figure. And that doesn't stack up in Irish mythology. That doesn't stack up in Irish practice. There is no sky father, mother earth thing in the Irish mythology. People point at Anu or Danu, as in the two-headed Danann being the tribe of Danu, and say that maybe she is like this embodiment of the world or embodiment of, but again, there's not a lot of information about Anu and Danu because, again, it's older stories. These stories that we have come from these medieval texts that were written down from oral stories. And as I've said, in other circumstances, you don't start an oral story or an oral retelling of a story by listing every other single story that happens before that. In some kind of larger, this is why the Tán Bó Cúalnge, for example, is so amazing as an Irish saga because it does include things called Réibhscéil, which are pre-stories. And it's my belief that the mythological cycle may have had these Réibhscéil, may have had these pre-stories, but those ones didn't make it to writing. And therefore, we don't have a record of them. So there may have been information about Anu and Danu, but by the time the stories were being told to be written down, it was presumed that people just knew that, so it didn't need to be told. There's other individuals as well, like we have some tales of the Cailleach, as this earth-moving kind of hag crone goddess figure. We have other tales of Crom Cruach, which is supposed to be this kind of titan precursor, primeval, primordial kind of entity. And in some stories, it's Lu who goes and steals the power of like the feast of the gods from Crom Cruach that gives the Tuatha Dé Danann their immortality. But again, we see that those stories do kind of bleed over with other mythology from around the world, with this other idea that there were pre-gods out there. But I mentioned Manann an Mac Léir, for example. We have many stories about Manann an Mac Léir, but we don't have any stories about Léir. In that capacity, he is Manann an Mac Léir. He is Manann an son of the sea. But we don't have stories of Léir if there was an elemental or a primordial deity known as Léir in that capacity. And so this is where we know we have missing stories. We know we have missing information, but it is dangerous to presume of that information based on our own personal experiences, because then that could color someone else's approach. It could color someone else's attitudes or connections to their, or attitudes or experiences to their own connection with gods, guides, and guardians, which is why, again, I have my personal opinion. That is my personal opinion. I have absolutely nothing to support that in any way, shape, or form. So please, take that as, you know, with as many shovelfuls of salt as you like. But we don't know for sure who Bridget's mom is. Now, another question that we had is that there's a person who's been going through some tough times. And we have stories of Bridget providing healing as well. So as much as we have Dinkecht, this god of healing, we have Dinkecht's children. Bridget is the daughter of the Dagda, but Bridget still can perform and provide healing. And this individual has been reaching out, has been connecting with Bridget in regards to that capacity of healing and has received help. What they have found, though, is that they're a little bit hesitant and concerned because where they are at the moment in the States, and you know, actually it's from the original stories here in Ireland, it's not a thing to give thanks to the she, to the other crowds, to the good neighbors. You don't thank them for stuff because that inherently puts you in an onus of obligation, in that like you're expressing gratitude towards them, then that means you're accepting the fact that they did something for you and that you owe them in some form of reciprocity. So this individual is caught in a bit of a bind because we know from the stories that the Tuatha Dé Danann went into the Sidhe. They went into the Hollow Hills and became people of the Sidhe when the Milesians, Mila Spania, the sons of Mil, invaded Ireland and conquered it from the Tuatha Dé Danann. So we get to ask this multiple times, and you know, I'm happy to answer it whenever we come across it. When you're dealing with the Tuatha Dé Danann specifically, you're dealing with a group known as the Aos Sidhe. That's Aossidhe. When they went into the other world wasn't empty. It wasn't like, you know, they'd go in and then they become the only occupants there. The other world is on sale, Ella, another life. And we know that there are many different kings and many different kind of groups and peoples of the other world. But when the Tuatha Dé Danann go in, they become this particular separate group within the people of the Sidhe known as the Aos Sidhe. And it's almost like they're a different level of nobility or a higher caste in some way of Sidhe in the other world. And this is where some rules apply, some rules don't apply. If you're dealing with regular entities of the Sidhe, absolutely don't express gratitude, don't offer, don't agree contracts unless you have a really good fairy kind of lawyer on hand to help you kind of hammer out the bones and nails of that agreement and to avoid any loopholes or any misunderstandings. When you're dealing with the Aos Sidhe, when you're dealing with the Tuatha Dé Danann in the capacity of ancestor gods, ancestor guardians, they don't have the same onus. And if you are building a relationship or building towards that right relationship with the gods, guides and guardians of the other world, it is about stepping and staging that process forward to build a connection that you're comfortable with. And then when you have that done, it is okay to express gratitude. And the Dagda has covered my back in so many circumstances, and I thank him absolutely. And sometimes it's as simple as, thanks very much, I really appreciate it. You know, you were there for me when I needed it, thank you very much. But it doesn't always have to include offerings. It doesn't always have to include physical or intrinsic items gifted as an offering. Sometimes the offering is less about the bottle of whiskey or how expensive the whiskey is, and more about the energy that is offered and the intention that is offered. And in many times, actually, there's a class we have on the Irish Pagan School, which is making offerings. I did a blog post about it as well. And there are many other ways to make offerings, and it doesn't have to come down to physical items. It can actually come down to energy and to gifting of your time, like, you know, serving of your community, aligning with your practices that work with that particular deity's areas of expertise or areas of interest. And so I know someone who, I don't want to say the name of it wrong. Sambo Thompson, member of our community, like, you know, absolute legend, and he's a blacksmith. I think it's Raven Keep Forging. I'm not really sure, but he actually is a blacksmith, and part of his kind of spiritual blacksmithing, he teaches spiritual blacksmithing of working with the metals and working with energetic intentionality around the metals. And part of his dedications are to Bridget and to Gwyvnew, the smith. And that's part of a gift of energy and effort. There's another individual, Mac Tier in our group, Marcin, and he is a woodworker, and he just does it for himself. He carves and whittles wood, and he has made kind of spears for the Morrigan, spears for Lou, like, you know, wood, like, items. And he creates them with intentionality around the energy and the crafting, and that is the offering. And then when it comes to one of the fire festivals, he burns those offerings to release the energy that was put within the wood. And so it doesn't have to be a physical kind of thing in that way. It can sometimes be more about the effort, the energy, the dedication that is provided over time towards these energies and entities and these gods and goddesses in our life. And so if you're dealing with the Aeshi, the rules, the basic rules of dealing with generic Shi don't fully apply. But in saying that, it's worth building up and establishing a healthy working relationship with them first, instead of just, you know, expecting a slot machine response of, well, I've said a prayer and poured a drink for you, you know, you need to sort my housing problem or my whatever problem. You may get a response, but it may not be the best balanced response that you get from a god or goddess in that regard. But that's what we talk about here. You know, that's one of the things that we talk and teach about in the Irish Pagan School, because it is about this concept of core quiveness, this right relationship. You know, and it's not just a relationship with the gods, guides and guardians. It's a relationship with ourself first. It's approaching our spiritual growth from a place of recognition that we are spiritual beings, as much as physical beings, as much as emotional beings, as much as intellectual beings. And, you know, learning to crawl before we like walk, learning to walk before we run, learning to run before we fly. You know, all of those things are part of the processes as we grow and change. And the same can apply to our spiritual growth in that capacity as well. So that kind of answers both of those questions that we were asked on Bridget. Bridget is a fantastic goddess to work with. And there are so many different aspects to Bridget, which isn't really surprising given that she's daughter of the Dagda, who is the god who's pretty much good at everything. So she is, to my mind and in my personal experience, a daddy's daughter, which I find very entertaining when I approach my relationships with her, because I don't commonly work directly with Bridget. I know our Bridget. I love Bridget. She's absolutely hilarious. But I still see her in the, like, as daddy's daughter, and that sometimes colors my approach to my relationship with these deities. And that's why I'm always cautious about not overstepping myself in that capacity. And I let her talk to her dad. If she needs me to do something, she can talk to her dad and her dad will figure it out with me. Is the safest way I have found to do it. Probably for myself, so I don't get in trouble by being unintentionally disrespectful when I'm dealing with deities. But yeah, there is many Bridget classes in the Irish Pagan School. They're taught by Orla Costello, which is a native Irish teacher. And she also runs classes on her own group known as the Bridget's Forge. So if you wanted to pop in and just do a search for Bridget's Forge, you're looking for Orla Costello. And she has classes at the school as well if you want to take them through us. And that is the person that we point everyone to for talking about Bridget content through Ireland and through native Irish sources. So I think that answers our questions for today. I am delighted to spend time with you all. I'm very grateful for our shared spaces and for this habit that I'm building to be able to kind of turn up and have my coffee chats, which is there once a week. So what I will say is look after yourself, take care. And if you do have any questions, pop them down in the comments where you find this, or, you know, shoot us an email. We can't guarantee a response to every email we get, but we do kind of take them on board and we might kind of collect them together to do a video like this when they come around, or a blog post or a class, if there's enough content or enough questions that seem to line up in the same way. Speaking of content, speaking of questions, do make sure you pop down and grab that resource. It can actually save and steer clear of some of the early pitfalls in, you know, getting to know or getting to grow in Irish paganism if you're able to go for the good resources. And it gets you on our mailing list. It puts you in with the connection and the groups as we go forward, so you won't miss out on any amazing content from us here at the Irish Pagan School. So until next time, look after yourself. Take care. August long.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Slán go fóill, and we will see you next time.